so rich. Oh, thank you. We lift up our voices to you, Lord, and thank you for what you've given freely to us. We ask now that your Spirit will be on your servant and on the hearts and ears of the people. In Jesus' name, amen. You that have your Bibles, if you want to turn to the 8th chapter of Romans. On the way coming into the church, I told my wife we had such a trial today. On the way home, ripped out my transmission and everything in the ice. And on the way in here, I said, well, you know, the last 3-4 days, the devil, he hasn't been fighting me like he used to. Maybe I'm leaving him alone, huh? I don't pick on him, I'll tell you that. But I know he's defeated. But then I thought, well, it hasn't got anything to do with me. It's his 8th chapter. That's what he's fighting. And this 8th chapter of Romans is probably the most controversial chapter in the Bible to people that are saved by works or maintain their salvation by works. This and, of course, 3:28. That's Romans 3:28. That verse there. And then this entire chapter 8. My dad, years ago, he went to visit a couple and they were being torn between legality. There's forms of legality, but they were being taught by a preacher they knew that they could lose their salvation. And there my dad walked in while he was there. So they said, well, to this guy, here's Brother Hill. Tell him what you were just telling us. And he turned to a few scriptures and Dad answered them. And he was quoting them completely out of the context to prove that a child of God didn't have eternal life. And he fumbled through here and he got to this chapter. And he looked at it for a few seconds and then he said, turned on. He says, well, that kind of backs what you're saying. So this 8th chapter is worth remembering because the devil hates this chapter. After going through up to the 7th verse, we read of a struggle of the Christian. And he's struggling with two natures. And he names them two eyes. And then he says, the me, that is me, I have got to resolve this struggle. And then he ends that 7th with, the only way that I can be victorious in this, he gives you the answer, is Jesus Christ. But then we come to the 8th chapter, and he tells you the only way that you can do it. He doesn't quite answer it. He tells you the problem in the 6th and 7th. But now it's spirit. And only will you live, you can resolve it. I expect there's a lot of you right here that know it. I mean, you know the battle and what it is. You've identified those two natures. You've identified Adam, and you have identified the new creation, Christ. And you recognize both of them. So you have identified them, which you've got to do. But then you will never take on the full armor, because this is the inward struggle. And it must be resolved first before you can take that armor and fight an outward with principalities, with power, with the devil, with self, and with the world. You'll never win out there if you can't win in here. Because that is the secret to it. So now, Paul tells you exactly what you must know to walk in the Spirit. So I'll read here from this 8th chapter. That's Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Notice how he is saying in Christ. In other words, I draw all my justification, sanctification in him, are in Christ Jesus. And then it'll be Christ Jesus a little later here in me. That's what he later says in Philippians. Christ, me in Christ, I abide in him. And in John, he says, 1 John, he says the same thing. He abides in me, and I abide in him. It's the two. But here, it's completely in Christ Jesus, meaning it's completely his work. That's where I get my righteousness. That's where I'm counted. This is in him. And you that have a King James Bible, it'll add, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now that belongs down in the fourth verse. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me, here's the me, that is identified now up to this point. That's the true you, me. Free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Of course, there are people that get confused with the flesh and sin and think they're the same thing. And they read over and over and over that they're two different things. Sin was around before Adam ever was in that garden. And it'll be around. I know it'll be in hell. I mean, I know there'll still be sinners in hell. You say, I don't know how long sin has been in this universe, but it was a long time before Adam. And now, since he turned it over, it's in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law, notice it isn't the law, it's the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, not by us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Impossible. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, or that Spirit now is sonship, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Now, I'm going to read this next sentence here the way it is. But my Spirit is alive because of the righteousness of Christ, the perfect righteousness of Christ that is in me. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. But for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Now you're freed from that slavery of that nature of sin. But you are a servant, we read back in the 7th chapter, of righteousness, aren't you? You, and if you refuse to be the servant of righteousness, see, you're free. But you're not a free agent. You will do, as he said, you've got to do one or the other. You cannot do two things at once here. You've seen people up on stage that juggle balls and wheel a thing with their toe and play a harmonica. And they do a lot of things at different times, but you can't do this. You're either serving the flesh or you're serving the Spirit, or you're letting the Holy Spirit, and He's enabling you to walk in what He dictates. But He does the dictating. You never do. Jesus made it clear that He would guide you into all to truth, that you would follow Him. And it says, those that are led. Galatians 5. He won't push you, but you cannot go on with God and mature to what God wants you to do unless you are led of the Spirit. And of course, you can't do that if, in the first place, you take off and don't believe the first verse of this 8th chapter. You hee-haw around. You go back to the 3rd 28th verse, and it's as plain can be, that it's never accomplished by works. But it's always faith through grace, and that in the power of the Spirit. So, you are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Now, you're not in the flesh. As he just said before that, get that. You're not lost. But you live as if you were back in the flesh, and you can't yield to it. For if we live, or like, as you read, if you read Ephesians, there he lays out that you can do just exactly all those things. And he says it don't become you to live like that, but you can live like that. Now the sinner, he can't. It's clear here. He cannot. We'll go over that. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. He's not saying that you're going to be lost. Like Jesse said this morning, you're going to die to the Spirit. Now, he didn't mean that you were going to die and go to hell. He meant that you were going to die to the Holy Spirit, getting you ready to rule and reign with Him, and you will die to that work. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You notice it isn't you. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the full-grown sons of God. But ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. See, that fear is that you're going to fail again. He didn't give you a life that could fail. He gave you a life that can't fail. The only thing you got to do is just give up trying to do it. Because that's how that life is. It lets Him do it. But ye have received the Spirit, that's Spirit of sonship, in verse 9, of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. Now he's talking about full-grown sons here. We'll go over this a lot. But there's a lot of people that don't really realize He is really their Father. And when you finally realize that He's your daddy, and you believe all this, you'll cry, Daddy, Daddy! Hallelujah, Daddy! He's my daddy! That's what it says, but you can't do that without that Spirit that's finally got you just to finally believe this. So, hallelujah. Abba, Father, the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit. See, that's when you can cry it. But you can't finally cry it when He bears witness until He lets you see that there's nothing. It starts off with no condemnation, and then He'll go, no separation. It's as stupid can get. We think that we have a greater love for our children than He does. Which one of you would lose a child if you had the power of Him? Huh? Nobody. You've seen parents that their children were as guilty of the worst of crimes, and they would have done anything to get that child off. Now, He don't do that. You are perfect and His perfect child. He actually makes you that. That's what you are. But you don't realize it until the Spirit Himself bears witness with your, I'm a son, the Spirit of sonship, grown sonship. And from that time on, like I said, now the devil wasn't fighting me over that. He hasn't fought me over that for years. I know who I am. See? I know who He is. There's been a lot of times that we couldn't have fellowship because I was refusing to let Him give me the best. And that's what He was wanting to do. No, I was wanting something lower than the best. So we couldn't have fellowship over that, could we? Jesus said, He gave out so many talents to this one and that one. And lo and behold, He come to, there's two different ones and two different things it's showing in self-righteous and then in the world. He buried it, one in the world and one in His own self-righteousness. But He said, I would have did a lot better to just to put my money in the bank and draw an interest than the work and what I gave you. What is He saying? He said, you wouldn't let me make you something. My own child that I wanted to, what I wanted to make out of you. How happy I wanted you to be. And you wouldn't let me do it. You were always trying to do it. And then you wouldn't believe when you fell on your face that I was trying to help you up. David said, as it's been quoted over and over, what can I render to Him? I'll just let Him do some more stuff for me. It's His work. He's going to get the glory for it. But you're the one that's stopping him from that glory for what he wants to do for you. That's what it's all about. And if children, now, we are children. A lot of times now when you see this word if, sometimes it means if in our language. But most of the times it means since. You get over in the 5th chapter of Galatians, and it says, since ye are in the Spirit, that's about 5:20-something, it means since ye are in there. But sometimes it means if. So you have that word here that if, it means since ye are children, then you're heirs. You're heirs of eternal life. You're heirs of God's very divine life, and that won't change. But heirs of God, and that's wonderful, but joint heirs with Christ. Now that if is an if. See, that one there could not happen. But the other is since. This is if. So be we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Back to 8:1. Now, there is now, therefore now. What all he said, and that's for sure now. There is no judgment to those that are in Christ, that have accepted Christ. Absolutely, and it's called condemning judgment. You will never have a condemning judgment. When you stand at the bar, all saints, you will receive the works and the rewards that you did. There will be no condemnation there at all. Every one of you will have praise of your Father, like all children do. Understand that? From a real mother and father. They give all some praise to every kid they got. And don't try to get in the way. Even another child. A right parent won't put up with that. Because you might not feel that way toward that child, but that parent does. How much more him? And when he says that he, all the condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, and when he says now and forever is over, it's over. Later on, he's going to 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that has died. We just read about sin and death. That's, in other words, you sin, that's the penalty. He has paid that debt. That debt is fully paid. I can never be condemned again. It's impossible. It's paid. Yea, rather, not only did he die and do it, but he's raised in a complete new life. And I'm identified with that new life. Not only identified with that new life, but I have that very life. The same as I have the very life of Adam. I've got that very life. So who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, rather he's risen, who is at the right hand of God, who is also making intercession for us. I remember a lot of preaching back was, finally a lot of people will quit condemning others, but they'll condemn themselves. And like He used to say, you know, if I condemn you, if I start picking on you, generally you're going to fight back. Okay? You're going to bristle up. But if the devil gets you, he that condemneth, condemning you. Now that doesn't mean we don't judge ourselves. That means we don't judge in condemnation. That's what it means. Then Dad used to say, you're really hopeless. You're helpless. See? You're condemning the very life that God says is in you, and you're condemning that life. Calling God a liar really is what you're doing. So, there it's done. To them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, you'll see that if you got a King James. Now, if you haven't got a King James, those next words, they belong down in the fourth verse. They're not there. This is what is the King James. They put it there. They call it a gloss where somebody copied or made a margin over, like they would write, like I've got written in my Bible. Well, later on, when they took the manuscripts, they added it here. Two instead of the fourth verse. Now, there's a lot of people that say it was accident. Well, I'll tell that person, a lot of teachers I knew, the devil didn't make that an accident. He wanted that in there. Now, whether it was an accident of the person that put it in there, that could have been. But it wasn't no accident that the devil got it in there. Because think of the harm it's done. And it's a complete contradiction to what Paul has been saying up to this time. So that is a flat statement. There's right now no condemning judgment for anything that I've done or anything I ever will do. Ever. Ever. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What happened was this law of the Spirit of life, or this sonship of Christ, he was very God of God. And that's his very pure life. He'll say here that he was sinless. He couldn't sin. That's what has made me free. That's why I can't be judged. Because if I'm ever condemned, then it's God's own life that's going to be condemned. Because I've got his very life. The minute I become a son, the spirit of sonship. This wasn't a creation. Now, of course, we're known in the Old Testament sons of creation. That's true. But he just breathed into us an existence. This, when we were born of the Spirit, born again, we were born of his very life. The same as you were born into this world. Of a father. You say, well, it's different. Yeah, it's different. But it's a life. It's a glorious life. It's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ, his very life. And the only way we'll ever, and it's impossible, he's just telling you, this is impossible. Would be for Jesus to fail. Find something wrong with Jesus. Then he could find something wrong with us. When do you think that's going to happen? He's already proved it. Now it's made me free from the law or the power, the law of sin and death. Sin, there's a law of sin. The soul that sins, that's personal, will die. That's everybody. That's all of us. You can't blame it and say, Adam did it so many years ago and I'm going to pay for it. Okay? No. He said the soul that sins, it shall die. You all sin. And little here he's going to tell you. And of course, that's the law of sin is death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful sin and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Now, the law here, he goes back to, there's two different laws he's going to be speaking about. He does talk about, of course, the law of Moses. Nobody could do it. But he's talking about a life. The law of a life. We are humans. We can't. We're earthly. We go out in space and what do we have to do? We have to take everything of the earth with us. Because that's our mode. That's where we're at. So that's what he's saying. This is the law of this life. Of God's life. His very life. And it, the law could not, it could never justify, it could never save the law because it was weak through the flesh. There's nothing wrong with it, he'll tell you. That's the trouble. There's nothing wrong with it. You see? What do you want with a perfect law? What does a sinner want with a perfect law that demands death? Tell me. Huh? You don't want an honest judge if you're did something bad. You want one that'll be bribed. If you're going to do life and you can pay and get away with it. See, that's the trouble. It was weak in the flesh. And what it's saying, it'll say you're you're an enemy. You're an enmity. You're born that way. He says, you can't please me. Impossible to do anything that he likes. Jesus, when he finally met him, he says, you've both met me and my Father, and you ended up hating both of us. See, they think they love God, but they haven't met him yet. Understand that. You haven't come face to face with him. How would you like to come face to face with somebody and you knew absolutely you could never like that person? That you were an eternal enemy with that person. There are eternal enemies. He's given us the ox and the bear, it says. The lion. Finally, they'll lay down together. But they are eternal enemies. And that's what you are. That's what you was born. How can you please God? How can you do anything of his life when your life is a complete opposite? Completely opposite. There wasn't one thing in you that you liked about him or he liked about you. That's what he's going to say here. And it was weak. It wasn't anything wrong with that. It was what you were. through the flesh. God sent in His own Son in the likeness. I remember, He could not, He did not, and He knew not sin. See, some people believe that He was going to restore the battle of the garden. No. Now, Adam chose to worship the creation rather than the Creator. Understand that. But he couldn't. See, he didn't have that in him, it says. It was just in the likeness of sinful flesh. Of course, Adam, before he fell, he didn't have sin in that body. You see, there was no sin in that body. But he had a different creation altogether. He was an intelligent being that would exist in intelligence forever. Yes. But he didn't have a divine nature. Christ is very God Himself. So, he could not, we're told. I show you these verses. John, Hebrews, and Corinthians. Could not. He did not. Not only that, he knew not. You know what? Knowing something about something is when you get tempted, you can be inflamed. And of course, you don't walk in the Spirit. See, you don't walk in the Spirit. You're not free, a free agent. Because then the devil is going to start fanning where you're the weakest. And he is, like this one guy said, have you ever watched these hornets? They're looking for bugs too. And they go everywhere. They go everywhere looking. But they're also looking a place to get in. And that's how he is. See? And when you do that, he's going to start fanning that. And when he starts fanning that, that lust, you know he's the devil and he can do it. So, it's just saying, this is the only way that we can do this. In the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he took care of sin, condemned sin in the flesh. God was completely satisfied with those 3 hours. That he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He becomes sin in those 3 hours. Before it was over, he said, Father, my spirit. He had paid that price. That was the work he done, and he did it in 3 hours. He's doing a work and the bride in 2,000 years. Certain times, certain things. But he does it. And you'll find out he does it. That the righteousness of the law, now not kept. Notice it's not kept. And it isn't the law that's kept. It's the righteousness of the law. The righteousness of the law is a life. See, it isn't a bunch of rules. That's why Paul later says that this life don't even need no law. There's no law for this life because it can't do anything wrong. It's a righteous life. And if it's righteous, if it's true righteousness and true holiness, how could it ever do anything wrong? It couldn't. So then he adds now what they tried to put in the first verse. That the righteousness, see, it's a life, a righteous, perfect life that he gave you. The same as Adam, he gave you Each and every of us were born of different things, women, men, tall, short. But it's all the same. Adam, sinful life. We all had the same thing. When we're in Christ, there's no condemnation to us because there isn't anything that's unrighteous about that life. And there's no use giving it a bunch of rules. Because if it walks in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is not going to guide you in anything but the truth. And the truth of the matter is, He will make you a vessel of honor of the greatest thing in the universe. His magnificent masterpiece. Can't go any further now. Lucifer, I could go further. I don't think Lucifer thought he could go further than when he made him. What a laugh. Huh? What a laugh. Wonder if he knows it now as he's slowly taking it from him. Says when they see him, they can't imagine. You went from that to this. That guy that won the biggest lotto, did you see him this week? On TV? Christian, saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Gave his assembly of gods a lot of money. Remember when he's completely broke now. And owes money. What did he win? 200 and some million? Owes money he can't pay. See, that's what I say. Maybe the Lord, you want all that quail? Do you really want it running out of your nose? That guy did. He was a child of God. So God let him have it. Huh? His granddaughter died of an OD. All the girls that he went down to watch came into the house. And while they were everywhere with him, the boyfriends were in the drawers getting all his checks and writing them. Drained him out. He had a big party and a young boy died in his party. He hired lawyers. He's been sued for more than he even made for the death of that young boy. And he can't pay it. He had it until it ran out of his nose. See? Aren't you glad that God hasn't given you your way? Huh? Some of these kids, he just can't. I want this. Like Dad used to say, Lord, I do want your will. But don't you dare not give me Sally. Huh? Isn't that right? Huh? Okay, I'll give you to her. See, if you're going to be determined that he's not going to be the keeper, that's what it is when you, that guy that was in Corinthians, he just turned him over to lust. You want a lust like that? I'll give you enough of it. See? No, Lord, I know you know. I'll take that old cheap bicycle right now. Huh? Ain't that right? Does he know or don't he know what you need? He knows. And he loves you. That's what this is telling. For they that are after the flesh do mind. I see this as a mindset, the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. They can't do anything else. Now don't read that fifth chapter and think that somebody that's saved can't be carnal minded, because the next verse says it can. And that's talking about both. But the sinner, he can't. That's his only mindset. He can't. You can. But you've got to do it the Holy Spirit's way. And also, if you haven't got the Holy Spirit and aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, you're never going to do it. You can't do it. Those people aren't doing it, and they never will do it without Him. He's the one that has to guide them into all truth. And if you don't know all truth, you can't be free. Of course, that There is, you shall begin to know the truth. See, not, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's you shall begin to know. He's talking about disciples. You don't know the truth overnight. People quote that are just saved, legal and everything else, and they're as bound up as bound can get. You got to rightly divide it. They're not free. They're free from their sins and don't even know it. It's a mind thing. This is something that they are lost. And the they that are down in eight, that's carnally minded, that can be both. That'd be a Christian and that. Now first he's talking about they're lost. They can't do anything else. You can do something else. You can start believing what God said. And first, if there's anybody here or here listening to that that thinks there's condemnation in somebody that's been saved, and eternal life is something that they have to maintain, it isn't even eternal life. It's something you maintain. So it isn't eternal life to start with, is it? And it isn't a gift. And first, you got to start believing God when He says something. And then He can start working through that word that you believe. To be carnally minded, now the sinner is dead. But like down in 13, you die to the working of the Spirit. He just can't work with you any other way. There are certain things that are just certain ways. And He won't work with you, and He can't work with you except in this way. Minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is abundance of life and peace. You that have believe God, you'll have this peace. Jesus, when He, just before He left, on the way, He says, peace, my peace, I leave with you. Now, if anybody was not peaceful, it was them. And if anybody was going to face a horrible time in a few minutes, it was Him. But there's no peace like His peace. See, He was completely resting in His Father, that His Father was going to pull Him completely through it all. And He was making them peaceful. It was them that wasn't peaceful. And it's us. He knows how it's going to turn out, don't He? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. And anybody that don't believe, you might not think you're... This is a natural enemy, and this in the Greek is real strong. It means that you are a complete against anything and the will of God. Think of that. And you can't be any other way. You can act like it, and then He sends you the test. And what happens? Lord, I didn't think You'd do that to me, you know. You knew that my heart was set on this, and now You've did this, and I know. My dad, he told me that over the last few years of his life, the only resentment of the one thing that God did, that he said, I got so bitter toward God for a little while. And that's when he took Brother Johnson. My dad had a hard time getting over that with God. And, see, he knew better than God, didn't he? That's what It says, first she says, I am, my beloved is mine and I'm his. I'm the one that's running the show. He does what I want him to do. He's mine. Oh yeah, and I am his. Then she reverses that. But finally, she said, I belong to him. See? And his desire is toward me. What he's making out of me. I'm catching his eye now. Well, my dad, I am my beloved's. On that case, for a while, he was. And if you knew how those two were, see, he didn't like that. Lord would say, well, I thought I was the one in charge. I thought you were mine. I didn't know we went clear back that I'm yours. You're the one that's in charge, huh? Is there anything he couldn't do? Of course. He could have had Brother Johnson raised, couldn't he? But he didn't. And it brought out something in my dad that my dad didn't even realize was there. You see? I went around along with everything you did for years, except this. I know you could have done different on this. And I know that my mind is not in enmity with you on this. It's not carnal with you on this. Anything your mind is against a loving Father that has only one purpose in His plan, and that's to make you completely glorious with His Son. A glory that you can't imagine. And any time that you believe He made a mistake, you're having a carnal thought. And you just as well face it. That's carnal minded. It's enmity against God. And it says it can't please Him. He can't be pleased if He isn't going to get you to that throne. He won't be pleased. He'll love you, but He will not be pleased with the work He did. Because you can't glorify Him unless you let Him give you all this and do all this for you. That's the only way that you're going to pay Him back is enlarge your cup, enlarge your beauty, enlarge your knowledge. A child that He'll be so proud of. Well, you think that Jesus, you know He did. And you think that if Jesus said that you could grow up like Him if you'll do this, that you couldn't? But you can. If you allow Him to do it. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritualized, that's what it'll lead to. Because the carnal mind, and it's not subject to the law of God, it'll never be. Never, ever. Just like there is therefore now no condemnation. Never, ever. Never, ever this. That you'll get into the where you do not believe that He is completely in charge of every second of your life. Well, I can't get clear. I can't. Boy, I was trying to. I'm going to close there. Because if I could read it, but I've already read it. I mean, up to the 17th verse. I'm going to have to spend maybe a little longer than I thought in that. Let's stand.